Well, it's the appointed hour having arrived. I will call to order the second meeting of the Government Operations Committee. Let the record reflect that we do have a quorum. So I have asked, since we have a new state auditor, Julie Blaha, and you know, I know we had some discussion legislatively about the role of the state auditor's office during the last session. I thought it would be helpful to have our new auditor come here just to explain a little bit, introduce yourself to us, and explain a little bit about the office. Bigger. Okay. All right. So if you could please introduce yourself for the record and talk. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. We have to, before we do that, however, we have to approve the minutes for the January 15th, 2019 hearing of the Government Operations Committee. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes? Representative West moves the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The minutes are approved. Thank you. Auditor Blaha, if you could. Oh, yes. So there should be one addition to the minutes. Sorry, this is my first time approving minutes. There should be one addition to the minutes. There was a referral. The two bills that we'll be discussing today were mentioned. The referral memo was mentioned in the last minutes. Is there a motion to reconsider the approval of the minutes?
So moved.
Representative Elkins moves reconsideration. So just the one addition would be the reference to the memo with the two bill referrals in there. So with that addition, could I have an approval to a motion to approve the revised minutes? Okay. I think Representative Nelson moves approval. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion approves. So now, Representative Auditor Blaha, if you could please begin your presentation, just identify yourself for the record, please.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair Freiberg, representatives. My name is Julie Blaha, and I am your new state auditor. And this is the first committee I've been able to present in, so this is very exciting to me. I've been out of the classroom for a little bit, so don't worry, no homework today. So many of you know, I started out as an educator and a math teacher at Jackson Middle School in Champlain. Then became the treasurer of the Minnesota AFL-CIO. And now have the opportunity to serve you in this new role. And so today we're basically to walk through our work, both going over some an overview of what we do, plus a highlight of something that we're particularly proud of, or something that kind of illustrates our work. This is by no means an exhaustive discussion of the office in 10 minutes. Though those of you who know how fast I can talk, you know I can get an awful lot in this short time. And with me today is one of our experts. We have our finance director, Matt Lindemann. I'll let you introduce yourself briefly.
My name is Matt Lindemann. I'm the director of budget, finance, and technology for the Office of State Auditor.
And since we are the people that underpin the rest of the work, we have a chance to present it today. So to begin, our mission in the office is to oversee local government finance. We want taxpayers need us to make sure we have financial integrity and accountability in local government financial activities. That's our mission. Basically, we oversee $20 billion in local spending. We also, and we do that with, oh, and I'm learning how to use this. This is a Prezi for any of you who are looking at the new technology. We do oversight of a number of entities. And, okay, now it's working. And our actions include basically auditing, reviewing, investigating, reporting, and educating. So to take a look at the first way we do that, we'll start out by talking about the audit division. All right.
So the Office of State Auditor has seven divisions. The largest division is the Audit Practice Division. It primarily performs financial and compliance audits of local governments in the state of Minnesota. Annually, it issues approximately 110 reports and reviews approximately 500 single audits each year. The division also provides technical assistance and education to local government financial staff, and its mission is to serve both the local government client and the public.
Something that we'd like to highlight is that what we really specialize in is our independence and our detailed knowledge of government work. You know, when new standards are implemented, for instance, We're the people that people often turn to because we can help guide people through difficult, complicated new standards. For instance, we had when the Department of Health had new standards, we had local auditors contacting us to help through them. When we saw a major pension fund had some was having some issues with some new standards, we were the people that could help them and their auditor find their way through. So when it gets tough, call us. All right.
Okay, the next division in our office is the TIF division. It oversees expenditures of approximately 2,100 tax increment financing districts in the state. It works to educate TIF authorities to understand and comply with TIF laws, and it notifies TIF authorities of the problems that need to be corrected. It is funded by a small percentage of the tax increment that's captured each year.
You know, one of the things we're particularly proud of in the TIF division is when you look at our reports, they're not so long. Especially based when you consider that $10.8 million of tax increment finance is returned to cities, counties, school districts every year because either it was an area was overspent, something was, it was used in a way that TIF can't be used for. And despite that number of returns, we have very few formal reports. And the reason that is because we have strong education efforts so people can correct their own issues. We have early communication to resolve things informally. And as a result, it's pretty rare that we have to get to a more formal step. And so we're pretty proud of the fact that even when things are returned, you're not always seeing a lot of formal reports about that.
The next division we'd like to talk about is the Government Information Division. The GID collects, reviews, and reports on financial information from over 3,300 local governments in Minnesota. GID is the primary source of this information for the Minnesota State Legislature, the U.S. Census Bureau, other state and local entities, researchers, and the public.
One of the highlights you may have heard of, if you've ever worked in a small unit of government, CTOS is something that was designed by our office to support our most local or our smallest entities. The City and Town Accounting System is an accounting software package. Gee, Matt helped design it. So if I get off on that, you can hop in. It's similar to QuickBooks, but it's specially designed for small local units of government. Right now, we've got about over 1,400 entities using it. Over 2,800 people are using it. We'll take over 6,000 calls a year. So when you're trying to get that report in, you're that local person that may have doing this part-time, you're doing this in the middle of the night. This is the system that helps you get your work done so you know where the money's going so you can focus on doing the public's business, not merely trying to figure out your software.
Our pension division oversees approximately 600 local public pension plans throughout the state. These plans are mostly made up of fire relief associations that support volunteer firefighters. It is a vital resource to the trustees of these pension plans. The division responds to thousands of questions each year on a wide range of pension topics.
What you might be most familiar with, and I know several of you had some interaction with this, the Volunteer Fire Relief Association Working Group has been a long-term project where we have people coming, stakeholders in these pension funds are coming together to work on technical issues, share ideas. As a result, together, they have helped do things like extending benefits to emergency medical service personnel, expanding return to service office options. All of these things have increased retention and recruitment of firefighters, and especially in greater Minnesota, as you know, it's really key, especially if you make a bold cooking choice, you know in greater Minnesota you are protected, and in part because of the work of this amazing group. And the State Auditor's Office, we're the convener of that group and the major support for that.
The Legal/Special Investigations Division provides legal support for all the OSA. It also investigates allegations of theft and misuse of public funds in local governments. When appropriate, it coordinates with local government law enforcement and reports findings to local government prosecutors. The division works proactively to safeguard public dollars by educating the public and local government officials.
Now, I'd love to highlight everything they're doing, but several are in process and we can't speak about that. Which is kind of exciting to be able to say, oh, I can't talk about that. I got to tell you, having the heavy security here is really cool. But an event, it's something you may have seen in the news. Bemidji had a vendor at their event center that had improper and questionable financial transactions. We were able to help identify $110,000 in improper or questionable uses of these dollars. We share the information. The city is taking the lead on fixing some of the issues with debit cards and changing their procedures, and this also may lead to prosecution. So one of our goals is to make sure that, you know, we support people so that they don't end up getting an investigation. But when someone is misusing things, we want to investigate it and get it fixed.
The Constitutional Division provides overall leadership to the OSA and fulfills the constitutional duties of the office. The division consists of the state auditor and her support staff. The operations division supports the day-to-day operations of the entire office and provides the office management, accounting, and technology services necessary to allow the other divisions to accomplish their missions.
That's us. So we'll finish up with these are our divisions. Basically, the constitutional division is me. And Donald McFarland, the main contact. If you can't catch me, you're going to go through Donald to connect to our office. And just to highlight it, one of the things that I also have the privilege to serve you on is a number of boards. So the State Board of Investment, PARA, Housing Finance Agency, Executive Council, Land Exchange Board, Rural Finance Authority. I have the opportunity to really be the financial support for those boards. So your connections and your feedback on those boards to me directly would also be deeply appreciated. Our job is particularly to lead where it's financial. We have the staff and the time to dig in and really be a rock on those boards as well. And that is a rundown of how we're organized. When it all comes down to it, our job is to ensure local government funds are used for the purposes intended by the law, the laws you pass. We want to make sure that they are followed and that we are holding ourselves to high standards of financial accountability. And that is 9 minutes, 32 seconds, and so I will stop there. And thank you again for the opportunity to speak to you today.
Thank you, Auditor Blaha. We have a couple member questions. Representative Vogel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Madam Auditor, I get equally excited about audits because I've been in this business my life, and it's stimulating. I do go back, though, to we had an issue with the lawsuit and so forth. And, sure. And back in January of 18, the OLA came out with their report. And basically, they concluded that the OSA had not thoroughly supported its findings, as well as that the CPA firms weren't treated fairly as part of those findings. And it goes on to say that, you know, basically, if you read through the report, it's saying that the auditor's office was really looking at details that normally wouldn't be part of a audit procedure. Using the manuals and so forth, and that the CPA firms were, again, mistreated, basically, and that their audits were accurate and good. And my question is, two of them, is first of all, you know, I think it's really important that we as a state go repair that relationship. In other words, that there is a close relationship because these counties have the legal right to do an independent audit if they so choose, and we can't have this back and forth because this cost the counties a ton of money because, you know, they were basically actually paying lawyers to defend themselves against the state for something that they were doing that was correct. So how do we repair that those relationships both with the CPA community as well as the counties and the local governments? And then how do we work together to respect and how do you change the, I don't know if maybe it's a culture change in the auditor's office, maybe it's not, but how do you work on improving the culture in that auditor's office so that, indeed, that there is a respect for counties using independent CPA firms so you build a partnership? Because the key is to find, as you said, the information that you need that's good and proper in the most efficient, effective form. And if there's a true working partnership and a culture of that, I think it would be helpful. So those are my two questions.
Yeah. Auditor Blaha.
Thank you, Chair Freiberg, Representative Vogel. You know, I think that we've all spent the last year talking about this, as we were running for office, as we were talking about this office, and so there's some great opportunity there. One of the things I've noticed over the past year, going around the state, talking about the auditor's office, is when you talk to people one-on-one, there is a lot of respect for the office, and there's a lot of collegiality out there that I think we need to lift up. Are there some concerns in relationship rebuilding? Absolutely. And one of the things that we are setting ourselves up to do is to get out there and talk to people. What I think is really important is that we know we are here to serve Minnesota. We have a group of dedicated professionals that are the best at it. And whether you're using us as your auditor or not, we're here to serve you. And so we'll be going around the state and sitting down with county auditors, sitting down with the people who use our services and people who don't. People who want to sing our praises, which we have plenty of those people too, and people who have concerns I definitely want to meet with. I think the relationship between us, one of the reasons I'm here is I want to make sure you know that I'm available to you and that we'll be talking a lot as well. So I look forward to meeting with you and talking more, and when you see those issues, to bring them right to our attention.
Representative Vogel?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would it be possible to follow up with some type of report back to us to say what's proactively been done? And again, I have a real concern that the accounting community, the CPA community, was harmed on this because they have national reputations that they need to protect. And, you know, I'm glad that you're reaching out to them. And, you know, if you could get back to us with some of the proactive things and maybe the relationship building that has gone on to make sure that the public and the self-assessment that the accounting firms have to do have some information that they can use when they go into their assessment periods with their other CPA firms so that they can objectively say, you know what, we've been working with the auditor's office. This is proactively what we have done.
Auditor Blaha.
Chair Freiberg, Representative Vogel, I'd be excited to come back and share with you the wonderful things we're doing. So, yes, I would. And to have a deeper discussion of that, and certainly one-on-one as well, is definitely something I'd be interested in.
Representative Elkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Auditor Blaha, how many IT people do you have on your own staff?
That's a good question. I'm going to refer to Chair Freiberg, Representative. Let me refer to Director Lindemann.
Director Lindemann.
Mr. Chair, Representative, we currently have one network administrator and one database/programming person, and then we just had one person resign that we're looking at filling the position who did kind of a mix of those: programming, website design, database administration, and so currently we're just down to two individuals.
Thank you. Okay. Representative Tice.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Madam Auditor. I guess I just want to reiterate what I think a lot of us are hearing about the importance of keeping the cost for our counties down a lot. And so, as Representative Vogel said, we're very interested in knowing that these relationships over audits, I mean, they're looking for every little piece to save on their budget. When I met with my county before session started, their issues are health care, recouping some of the costs that MNLARS has taken, and also they're looking at bridge repair in a rural area where we've got a bridge that right now their plow system for this bridge only is a stripped down pickup truck with a plow, which means no tractor with a load can go over it either. And so they're trying to recoup as many dollars as they can in order to do the repairs that absolutely have to get done. So I'm really looking forward to seeing these issues taken care of, and that we do hold our counties to know what their budgets are and to allow them to do the best they can to keep the costs in the county. So I look forward to it, and thank you for your work.
Auditor Blaha.
Chair Freiberg, Representative Tice, I really appreciate this because I think we're on the same page there. You know, my first experiences with government were watching my mom work on the Burns Township Road and Bridge Committee. We had no bridges, but we were ready with that committee. And so I remember the discussions about how we don't want to use we didn't want to use the county to, if you had a problem with a dog, a stray dog, because it cost us $1,000 a time, we would rather pay for whatever that dog dug up directly. So, you know, I know that these are very, very ground-level discussions you need to have. And I would also say one of the goals of our audits is to ensure that you know where the money is going so no money is being wasted. Every dollar that is intended to get to Minnesotans gets where they're supposed to go. And I think that that's another cost-saving opportunity. A good audit helps you keep track of your money. The better you keep track of your money, the better it's spent. And so I appreciate the relationship and the and again, the issues about cost with the counties. Thank you.
Representative Tice? Okay. Representative Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Madam Auditor, for sharing that you will be traveling around the states to foster the relationship with our local units of government. Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious, you know, understanding that this is a new year, can you share with us what is your plan? What are some of the first stops that you'll be making along in this journey that you're trying to foster the relationships?
Auditor Blaha.
Thank you. Chair Freiberg, Representative Lee. What I think is great is that we have five field offices around the state. And so one of the first stops is one. I've met them face-to-face once already, but now it's time to go out and get out there. And that's one of the other strengths of this office is that we have people in local communities. The jobs that we are creating at the auditor's office are many of them in greater Minnesota. So as we kind of starting from those offices there, and then, of course, where we've heard concerns. So I think another place is to focus on northern Minnesota, where we know that there are counties that definitely want to see us face-to-face. They want to have their say. They want to have an honest conversation about how they're working. So field offices and then also particularly in northern Minnesota.
Representative Lee. Okay. Representative Zerwas.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Madam Auditor, first, congratulations in your new role, and I know you're excited, I can tell. I'll be honest, I don't get as excited about audits, but, you know, it's someone needs to, so.
Take special people.
You know how much Mountain Dew I'd have to get through now. Anyway, I think the theme of the concerns you might be getting from folks on this side of the aisle is that a lot of us represent some of these counties that were dragged through over a year of litigation and appeals based off of a law that was passed by bipartisan houses, signed by Governor Dayton. The counties followed that law and then were sued and then defended themselves. I represent Wright County, who spent hundreds of thousands of dollars defending themselves and their ability to engage in a private audit firm in that time. To be perfectly clear, Wright County doesn't have hundreds of thousands of dollars to defend itself in that type of litigation. And so it was really challenging for our community. And so I guess my request is, as you start out on a tour, a bit of advice from us perhaps is to reach out to those counties in which the previous administration had perhaps more of an adversarial role than a supportive role in seeing where in your administration your office can be supportive of those counties. Clearly, the work that the office of the state auditor does, being a former city council member that worked very closely with the audits for our municipal liquor operation, for our fire relief fund, and for the city as a whole, I respect and understand the work that your office does, and I appreciate what you and the folks that you supervise do on a daily basis. I think, however, over the last 24 months, in some of those communities where there was that direct conflict, I think tensions have risen, and I think relationships in some senses have soured. And so if there's an ability in your first year, first term in office, to work on mending those fences, I think the more, the earlier and more you can engage in that, I think the better the entire state will be served. And so thank you and good luck.
Any comments, Representative Auditor?
Yes, Chair, Representative Zerwas. I know, isn't that fun to say? And I absolutely appreciate that. And I think that also the better our relationship is, me as the auditor and you as the legislature, the better our relationship is, ideally, we fix it here so it doesn't have to get out there. And so that's another thing that I'm excited to have as open a relationship as I can with you all as well, so that any of our disagreements don't have to get down to a place where they're impacting other people.
Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I know the auditor wasn't in office for this, but I chaired the Claims Committee, mm-hmm. and in discussions with the Senate Chair of the Claims Committee, we talked about this topic and the appropriateness, you know, to come before the committee a separate constitutional entity in the state was suing a local, multiple local government entities on the constitutionality of a state passed, signed law, and was the state obligated, you know, we're surprised the Attorney General didn't defend the constitutionality. Maybe they knew it was a losing cause and didn't want to put the effort in there. But it seemed to us it is a bit of a travesty that local government was suffering because they were actually following what we in the legislature passed into law. And it's been touched on the burdensome nature of the cost of that litigation of following a state law that we passed. Now, it's fine for one independent constitutional office to, you know, exert what it felt was its right and disagreement with another part of the state government. But I think us as a state, I'd love to see us make whole the damage from the parties that I believe actually in the long run won. I had a little bit more knowledge because I spent a few terms on the Legislative Audit Commission. And Mr. Nobles, I've talked with him and heard him many times testifying. And he sent an internal letter to the Legislative Audit Commission about the audit of the auditor. And in it, what really hit me was a sentence: we concluded that the office did not follow due process and fairness standards that the audit profession commonly follows. Now, I'm used to talking with the people that do the audits in a private setting, and we tend to be frank. And I know there are different generally accepted practices for government and private entities. And so I asked about the desk review, the checklists, the normal components of the process. And they informed me that they followed what the OSA did, that the same for the standard way of doing it, and that the things that the OSA came up with were off book, so to speak. They weren't part of that normal desk review and checklist process. And it's a bit disturbing because I had been a treasurer on a school board, and I understand auditing of a public entity and been through that. The big thing is consistency and fairness and discussion in a conversation, because many times it's a interpretation of what's noted or, you know, some little thing. And frankly, if I was stepping into the position that you were elected to, and I knew that there had been a past situation, I would have from day one a summary generated and given to me of what were the major points, what do we think that maybe we could have done better, and how are we going to do it better. Not, you know, wait, because you're going to have another audit cycle kick in. So I would suggest that maybe you maybe meet with legislative auditor and have a discussion, not just read the report, but have a discussion and get a feel and understanding of where there may be some disagreements, and be very proactive, because, again, it's not trivial what happened to multiple local government entities. They were suffering because they did due diligence in following what we had as a state law.
Auditor Blaha?
Thank you, Chair Freiberg and Representative Kwan. I think that it was, one of the things we can take from that lawsuit is there was a lot of clarification there. And so what it clarified was that specific law could happen. At the same time, it also clarified that this is a core function of the office. So, the idea of won or lost, I'm not sure if that's always the best way to characterize how the lawsuit went. We may have some different interpretations on that. But I can tell you, I think a lot of this does have to do with, like you said, relationship building, in addition to making sure that we figure things out here as much as we can before we need to go someplace else. And I see the look on your face. Oh, yeah, you got what you wanted there. I'll give you that. But let's also clarify that this was I think that this process, our job now is to go forward from that, and to make sure, again, we're rebuilding relationships and that we are ensuring that when we have these disagreements, how can we solve them here between us before we have to go out any further? And I think that's definitely going to be my goal right away. And luckily with Jim Nobles, I believe we're due for an audit of our office, too, especially with a new leader. So we'll have lots of time to have a chance to connect. And so I can appreciate that suggestion as well.
All right. Don't see any further questions, so thank you very much, Auditor. Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Auditor Blaha, and testifiers. I just wanted to say a couple quick notes. First, congratulations to you, Auditor Blaha, and I know that you have I'm really excited about this change in direction in your department, because I know that you have a reputation of being an open communicator, very transparent, and as well as really a reputation of service to those that you oversee. And so I think this is a really great great opportunity. I know that, obviously because you are overseeing the people's money and making sure that all those dollars get where they're supposed to be, we want you to be successful, and I think everyone in this room would agree. And so I guess my curiosity question here is there anything that we as a body can do to help support you or the mission of your office as you undertake that endeavor?
Auditor Blaha.
Chair Freiberg, Representative Bonner, what I appreciate is, again, this kind of open communication, that you're willing to tell me things, whether they're fun things for me to hear or not. I really deeply appreciate that. So many of you already reached out to me directly, have responded when we've reached out to you, so I appreciate that. So as you hear things, getting things to us as directly and quickly as possible is exactly what I'm hoping, that you all know. Our office is at 525 Park. Not everyone knows where that is, just a little walk away, and again, I'm excited to meet with you and stay connected with you. I think the better connected we are, the better our service will be.
Okay. All right. Now, I don't see any further questions, so thank you, Auditor Blaha. Very much appreciate your time coming here this morning.
And thank you, Chair Freiberg, and thank you for a fascinating first opportunity to present to a committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next item on the agenda is House File 17. Representative O'Driscoll is here to present his bill. This bill was heard yesterday by the election subcommittee. Approved there. So, Representative O'Driscoll, thank you for coming to the committee. Glad to have another former, glad to have three former government operations chairs in the room here. So, if you could please present your bill.
Mr. Chair, a couple of things. Number one, I noticed that there were not copies of House File 17 or House File 14 available out front, and so I am going to go from memory because I did not bring one, and that also would mean that the public did not get an opportunity as well to review the bill before we have the committee here this morning. So just a housekeeping detail for you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, and to that point, they are actually on the page desk.
Okay.
One is coming to you, and the rest, if you could, if the pages could please put them up.
Yeah, like I said, there wasn't anything out where we normally would have them for the public, and I just wanted to make sure.
And please do that for if House File 17 as well as the amendment is in there as well, please please do the same for those if you could. So thank you for pointing that out, Chair O'Driscoll.
Mr. Chair, thank you for the opportunity to be in front of the Government Operations Committee. This is quite a different look at this committee from the testifying table, as I have served my entire legislative career up until this year on the committee with yourself and, as you mentioned, former Chair Nelson, who is still on the committee. Speaking of former Chair Nelson, he is now the chair of the State Government Finance Committee. But last year when Representative Nelson and I were on the Government Operations Committee with yourself, Mr. Chair, and some of the seated members on the Government Operations Committee here today, we were working to endeavor to get legislation passed that would allow the state of Minnesota to be able to access approximately $6.6 million that was made available to not only the state of Minnesota, but other states across the country under the FY19 bill that was signed, passed by Congress and signed into law by President Trump. And what that does is it makes an appropriation available to the state of Minnesota with a 5% matching grant. And what that means is Minnesota would have to come up with approximately $330,000 to match the $6.6 million that the federal government would make available to us. And what's the purpose of the funds? To be able to help us to protect voter integrity in the state of Minnesota. One of the things that many people are familiar with is a system called the statewide voter registration system, known by shorthand as the SVSR system. And that's where my information and your information as members of the committee and all Minnesotans' information is maintained for voter records here by the Secretary of State's office on behalf of the elections process in the state of Minnesota. And for various reasons, we were not able to get this bill passed into law last year. And so Representative Nelson and I both have bills that we are working that are very similar, same mission, same outcome desired, but two different bills. He was thinking about it outside of session. I was thinking about it, and we're going to get a chance to look at both bills today. And so in summation, what House File 17 does is it authorizes the Secretary of State's office to be able to have access to the federal grant money of about $6.6 million. It also recognizes money that the Secretary of State's office has already spent through their current budget that are approved funds for activities that they've undertaken that the federal government has given permission and has signed off and said Minnesota can use those as a part of their grant. Roughly of the $330,000 match that's needed, about $120,000 of that has been already expended through activities in the Secretary of State's office, leaving about $210,000 to $220,000 of additional appropriation needed to meet the match. And again, Mr. Chair, that is the mission, the purpose, the goal. We were in front of the Elections Division yesterday, and we did have an amendment that was passed on the bill, and it changes the effective date from 2020 to 2019 to be able to make those funds available. And so with that, Mr. Chair, I stand for any questions that the committee may have or questions that the public may have, and the Secretary of State is also available for comments and questions if necessary as well.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chair O'Driscoll. And if I'm not correct, the bill is not actually officially before the committee right now. I need to make a motion to re-refer it to the Ways and Means Committee. Is that that's the correct motion? So I will.
If that's the next stop, that would be very helpful.
Yes, and I'm looking at Chair Nelson. Yes, that is the correct motion. So I will move that this bill be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee.
Mr. Chair, if you don't mind, then, that it's officially in front of the committee, I will dispense with making my speech again.
Yes.
Thank you.
That would be just fine. That was an informational speech, so we'll let's say. Members, discussion. Representative Kwong.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative O'Driscoll, I want to thank you for working on this. You may recall that when we had the legislative audit report on registrations, there was a lack of detail in some areas. I had requested the Secretary of State to, you know, answer the request for information that was presented during the committee meeting, and it ended up that he said, well, the counties really have that information because they do that. The president of the Minnesota Association of Auditors, Treasurers, and Financial Officers, you know, basically the county organization, you know, for the people that would be involved in this, replied in a letter that unfortunately we do not have any tools or reports in SVRS available to the counties that would allow the counties to produce and, you know, look at this information. So I hope in the activities involved that, you know, when this is updated and improved, that they actually include the processes that would allow the counties to actually do what is required to verify and disposition voter registrations. And so good luck. Thank you.
Chair O'Driscoll, I know you like to say I didn't hear a question there, but would you like to respond?
Chair Freiberg, my words are coming back to me.
That I'm sitting in this chair, I can kind of see the value in saying that.
What comes around goes around, right?
Yes.
You're right, I did not hear a question. I think that Representative Quam's statement refers back to some testimony that we had and some discussions we had in the Government Operations and Elections Committee in 2018. And To answer that question, two different things. Number one, we are trying to fast-track this individual issue because of the sensitivity of the nature of getting money available to continue to secure the system. And secondly, there's going to be some opportunities as well for a second or third elections-related bill that is coming through. Yesterday, Chair Dean had indicated some topics that they want to be looking at. I think that that would be a great time for us to take up those issues that Representative Quam has spoken about this morning, including other issues that people may have as a elections-related omnibus bill that may or may not be coming forward this year, depending upon where Chair Dean is at on that and what we can work out with the Senate to get something into the law. So those are my thoughts and comments.
Thank you. Representative Quam, follow-up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And you'll notice that my amendment isn't to your bill, and so I'm supporting the fast-tracking of what you're trying to do.
Mr. Chair.
Representative O'Driscoll.
To that point, there were no copies of the bills, and there were also no copies of amendments, so I'm not familiar with the amendment that Representative Quam is referring to, and it's obviously, as he said, it's not on my bill, but again,
sure.
If that's something that can be made available for folks for review when that particular bill comes forward, that would be probably helpful as well.
Yep, and I believe the
okay.
Page is already put it out, so.
Again,
yes.
And I know exactly what it's like being in that spot and having to run this committee, so I'm just trying to give you some help as a veteran on the topic, so.
I appreciate the help you are, veteran. So, Representative Zerwas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question, actually, for you, Chair Freiberg. Is it your intention, if the motion is to refer this back to Ways and Means, is the path for this bill then for it to go from Ways and Means then to State Gov Finance for Chair Nelson? Is that the path that you envision for this? So we'll see it again in State Gov Finance.
Yes, thank you, Representative Zerwas. I'm not the chair of the I'm neither the chair of the Ways and Means Committee nor the chair of the State Government Finance Division, but my understanding is that that is the path it will likely take.
I'm just trying to figure out the.
Sure. Any additional member questions? Okay, seeing none, I guess the motion is to re-refer this bill to the Ways and Means Committee. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. The motion carries. Thank you, Chair O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is House File 14. Just once again, to reiterate for the pages, if this bill hasn't been handed out to the public as well as the amendment, please make sure that it is done so it is in all the members' packets, I know. So, Representative Nelson, if you would you like to make the motion since you are on the committee?
Mr. Chair, I would like to move House File 14 to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. Could you please describe your bill?
And, Mr. Chair, as with the previous bill, and there's two basic differences. What the previous bill and what this bill do is trying to fast-track that money that we should have done past last year. It was in the omnibus prime bill that got vetoed. And it didn't come forward in the second funding bill that was passed and signed by the governor. But what this does is, early in the session last year, the Secretary of State was looking at trying to get money to do and included as part of his supplemental budget to fund the cybersecurity. But then the federal government passed the grant money, and we're getting the almost $6.6 million to do that. So he didn't have to have a supplemental budget to do it. But Minnesota is one of a few states that when we get federal dollars, we can't spend it till we authorize whichever department is getting those grants to spend it. So this money's been sitting there. It's in our bank account. It's been sitting there since last March. So what this bill does, my bill does, and which is different from the House File 17, is it authorizes the full amount of the $6.6 million to be spent by the Secretary of State's office. And if you see in the bill total includes, it says $6.8 million. But what that is if you take the $6.6 was the grant times 105%, which is the 5% match, that's where the $6.8 million figure comes from. And what this bill does is allow the Secretary of State to expend that money, and it's over the next 5 years to be able to use that money and come up with the match money to do this thing to harden our system so the statewide voter registration system can be hardened so that people can't get into it. As the Secretary of State has testified in the past, in the 2016 election, we were one of the states that outside forces tried to get into our system and mess around with it. Luckily, they did not get into ours, but that doesn't mean that's not going to happen again in the future. Some states where they went in and they messed around in different parts of different people's different states' systems, and so there's a lot of mischief that can happen there. One is that as Representative O'Driscoll pointed out in the elections committee yesterday, when he went to vote, his name, they couldn't find it on the poll book. Now, with same-day registration, with that, it's not as critical in Minnesota, but if you're in a state that you have to register 21 days before and somebody goes in and messes with the statewide voter registration system and takes your name out of it, you have now been denied your right to vote. In Minnesota, because we have same-day registration, it's not as critical because you can re-register on that day. But those are the type of things that we're trying to protect here, and that's what this is going to do. And my bill also lays out different things that this money is going to be spent on. They're part of the federal grant. It's to replace voting machines that do not have a paper trail audit. In Minnesota, we don't have that issue. Our machines, we have paper ballots, so we have a paper trail audit. It's to conduct post-election audits and checks on the accuracy of the vote counts, to address vulnerabilities in the election-related computer systems, provide the state and local officials with cybersecurity training, to institute a collection system, cybersecurity best practices, and to make improvements in the security of all of our federal elections. So these are the things that the money is going to be spent on. These are the things that it's authorized by the federal government to be spent on. So that's what my bill does. And like I said, it allows the Secretary of State to access the full $6.6 million worth of the grant. So, with that, I'll stand for questions. Representative O'Driscoll did a very good job on his bill of explaining what it is, because both the bills have the similar and have the same point in action of what they're trying to get done.
Yep. Thank you, Chair Nelson. Yeah, and I would just like to note Representative O'Driscoll is a co-author of your bill as well. So thank you for
Mr.
sticking
Chair,
around.
If I might.
Sure, Representative O'Driscoll.
I want to just make a couple points of clarification for the committee. Number one, the reason that I don't have any co-authors on mine is I knew we had this last year, and I wanted to get it going as fast as I could, and I dropped it on the first day. on the very first day of session, Representative Nelson came over and said, I've got this bill. I said, does it do the same thing? And so we collected additional offers on his that I already had submitted my bill. And so, again, the theme is the same. The outcome and desire is absolutely the same. I also want to, because I've watched what Representative Nelson said, and Representative Brisco probably went to vote. He didn't show up in the poll books. And I saw a few people, huh, what's that mean? We have had some difficulty in the past because of the spelling of my last name, having punctuation in capital and lower letters in there, being able to have it come in when you do the swiping of your driver's license coming up. And I have other family members that have experienced that. We've been working with the Secretary of State's office on that. I am a registered voter. I have registered. I am duly sworn as an official in the state of Minnesota. I do not want any confusion on that topic, Mr. Chair, so I'm going to use this opportunity and venue to make sure that everybody is aware of that.
Thank you, Chair O'Driscoll. I did not doubt any of that for a moment. Representative Quam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move H0014A, that amendment.
Let me, that's fine. I mean, we'll take the amendment. I just wanted to see if there are any other questions for the authors of the bill prior to amendments, if that's acceptable, Representative Quam.
You okay. Sure.
Sure. Representative Elkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a rookie question. So what will be the process for reconciling the two bills as they move along?
Thank you, Representative Elkins. My understanding is that will be at the discretion of the Ways and Means and or State Government Finance Division.
That's my understanding also, yeah.
Okay.
Or we'll find a room, Mr. Chair, that's got a lot of smoke in it. We'll work it out on that. I'm not sure.
I mean, yeah, and I did note the differing amounts, and I thought about how we should address that in this committee, but then it occurred to me, oh, wait, we're not the fiscal committee here, so that sounds like a perfect question for the state government.
Mr. Chair, a legitimate answer to the question from my perspective,
sure,
I have been in consultation with the Secretary of State's office, and he has indicated he likes features of both of those, and what we may probably do at some point when it's appropriate, we get all the details worked out, is do a delete all, choose one of these bills, and have it be the one that we move forward for voting on the House for.
Thank you.
Yep. Excellent question, Representative Elkins. Any additional member questions before we turn to amendments? I do see the Secretary of State. I don't know. Would you like to speak at this point on it, or would you like to wait until amendments? I am seeing kind of a nodding. You're welcome to come up, and if you could just identify yourself for the record. To speak to the bill, I think it would probably be helpful just to have that additional background. I apologize for the chairs. Oh, I will
bad
note
worse,
that,
Mr. Chair.
Well, I was going to say, we'll note that the basement hearing room, either fortunately or unfortunately, depending on your perspective, is one that does not have the House audio or House video featured, but there are cameras here, so Representative Lilly is being very gracious in providing
but
a normal
height. You can never erase that image from your head.
Well, not that one.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, Steve Simon, Minnesota Secretary of State, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I served on this committee for most of the time I was in the House, including all of the time that Representative Pawlowski was the chair of a version of this committee, so thank you for being here. And I want to respect your time. I don't want to just repeat what's been said. I want to add to it. We're here basically because of 2016. As was alluded to, we were one of the 21 states that was targeted by a foreign government. And as you heard, the good news is that we passed the test and no one got in. But two states were in a very different situation, and they did get in, and they did. There was a breach, and I will just say that I'm less concerned about mischief at the polling place. I'm not unconcerned. I'm less concerned because we're a paper-based state, after all, which is really the way to go. Hard to hack paper. You can touch it. You can feel it. And there are a lot of checks and balances. What I'm most concerned about is the SVRS system. That's where the breach occurred in the other two states, in Arizona, Illinois. It was their equivalent of what we call the SVRS, the Certified Voter Registration System. That's a system that was built in Minnesota in 2004 and built very well with $6 million of federal and state money. But like a lot of things that are built very well from 2004, maybe that flip phone you once loved, it needs to be upgraded. It needs to be modernized, and it's a very serious issue. This is the number one threat to the integrity of our elections. And so thanks to both representatives of Driscoll and Nelson and others in this room, we came a long way last year. We weren't able to get it done for a lot of reasons not worth relitigating, but here we are again. I just want to touch on a couple quick things, though. We are the only state in the country now, the only one, that did not get all of its money in time for the 2018 election. 49 states did. We didn't. So we lost a lot of time on some of these projects, and we want to get going as soon as possible. One question that arose in the prior committee, it hasn't yet, but I'm anticipating it is, you know, who's going to track how this money is spent? That is going to be done by the Election Assistance Commission, which is a federal agency in Washington, D.C. And that commission, as it did with the first round of Help America Vote Act money in 2003, 4, 5, 6, et cetera, that came to Minnesota and other states, they do very detailed audits and tracking and oversight. We're going to have to track all of our time in increments of, I think, 15 minutes. We're going to have to do routine reporting to them, and that's, of course, available to the public. One other point before we get to other testimony and perhaps amendments is, so what we did over the interim, and both Representatives O'Driscoll and Nelson and others in this room were part of that effort, is we convened a working group. This was not required by state law. It was not required by federal law. We just thought it was good practice, legislative and otherwise. So we convened a working group consisting of staff and members from all four legislative caucuses, representation from townships, cities, counties, the disability community, the IT community, experts, and others. We divided into five subcommittees. Those subcommittees then presented their findings and recommendations to the full group, and we came up with essentially a menu for how to spend this money. And priority number one is what I just mentioned, which is upgrading and modernizing the SVRS system. And for those wondering what that means, there's very little mystery to it. It's hiring three people for 4 years to do coding. That's it. That's all it is. Three people, 4 years to do coding. I ask the question, which may be going through your head right now, what if you hired, could you get it done in 2 years if you hired six people, and could you get it in 1 year if you hired 12 people? And I'm told, and if need be, we have the expert from our office here to answer your questions, but that's just not how it works. You've got to roll it out module by module, piece by piece. There's a lot of testing protocols involved. So it's three people, 4 years to do coding. That's it. So I think that sort of rounds out the story for you. I'm happy to stand for questions, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Chair Simon, or Secretary Simon. I'll get the titles right one of these days. Representative Pulaski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Secretary Simon, which of the two bills best addresses your concerns?
Yeah, Secretary Simon.
Mr. Chair, Representative Pulaski, I would put it this way. Representative Driscoll's bill, House File 17 is sort of the where we left off last year bill, more or less. And Representative Nelson's bill, House File 14, is the this is where we are now bill, in the sense that it enables us, as every other state in America has had happen, it enables us to have access to all of the $6.6 million if we come up with the other match. And we now have the menu and the planning and the thought that went into how this money would be spent.
So, Mr. Chair, given his answer, why are we passing two bills?
Thank you, Representative Pulaski. I think they're both they both take slightly different approaches. I think they're both reasonable approaches. The biggest difference in my mind is the amount, and I think that is a question that's very well suited to be worked out in the Finance Division.
Secretary Simon, Mr. Chair,
Representative
Secretary
Pulaski.
Simon, I'm going to be careful about how I phrase this. We didn't get you the money in 2018. There is apparently one bill that will deliver what you need to do to complete the voting procedures that you just described for us. And yet we're passing two bills that are in conflict with each other. So I'm going to ask you again, of the two, which is the one that does what you just described best?
Secretary Simon?
Mr. Chair and Representative Pulaski, the one that comes closest to reflecting what we did over the interim would be House File 14.
All right. Mr. Chair, I would hope the Government Operations Committee, this is a committee we should be making the decisions. Some of the decisions are difficult. But if we're going to continue to pass multiple bills, that address an issue, and we're leaving it then to another committee to resolve what we can't resolve, it's going to be a long session.
Thank you, Representative Pawlowski. Again, as I mentioned, the biggest interest difference between the two bills is the amount, and that seems like an appropriate question for the Finance Division. This is a slightly unique situation, just given that these bills were part of the omnibus bill, which got vetoed for reasons unrelated to this. There is some urgency, as Secretary Simon has mentioned. There were two bills introduced, so I believe I took it's my prerogative as chair. I feel like these should be moving. These should both be moving forward to keep this process moving. I do not anticipate that this will be a regular occurrence in this committee. I certainly do not want to hear large numbers of bills here. You know, I mentioned yesterday that the previous Government Operations Committee heard some. I don't have the numbers in front of me. Something like 400 bills. Had referred to it over 400 bills. It heard over 200 bills. That mean, you know, the implication there is that there were over 200 bills that were not heard by the committee. I do not anticipate that we will be able to hear every bill that comes before this committee. In this situation, just given the pressing nature of this, the fact that it was part of the omnibus bill, I think in this situation it makes sense to proceed this way. But I do not anticipate this being a regular occurrence.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Pawlowski.
And yet this is the way you have started the direction of the committee. I would hope it is not a regular occurrence. And I would hope that your comments in reference to 400 bills and 200 bills, there were those of us that chaired this committee that certainly did not hear 200 bills or even attempt to hear 200 bills. Secretary Simon was also a first-termer on government operations along with Representative Winkler. Mr. Chair, my best advice to you is you're a chair of a committee that's going to deal with an array of issues. You're going to have to resolve those issues. If this is your attempt to resolve them, we are really in for a long session.
Thank you. Representative Pawlowski, I would say I agree with you, and I do not anticipate this. It is my hope as well that this will not be a regular occurrence, and I expect it won't be. Are there additional questions for Secretary Simon?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Elkins.
Yes, thank you. Secretary Simon, how large is your IT staff right now?
Secretary Simon.
Before you add the three that will be funded by this.
Right.
Secretary Simon.
Just roughly.
Mr. Chair and Representative Elkins, it's a little bit of a trick question for reasons that I can go into. I'm just looking over at our staff here to see if we can get a rough head count. It depends on how you count IT people, but so, yes, thank you for that, and thanks for your indulgence. About 28 right now. That includes people, though, who work on matters other than elections. They might work on business services. They might aid in some of the other responsibilities. But that's 28 total. They touch in some form IT.
Representative Elkins?
Yeah, thank you. That's substantial. So, I want to echo your comment that, as we say in IT, and we've got a couple of experienced IT professionals in this freshman class, that the saying is that, nine developers cannot deliver a baby in 1 month.
That's good.
Didn't hear a question there.
No.
All right.
We're agreeing. We're agreeing with you.
Yeah. I don't see any additional member questions, so I want to make sure we have time to fully discuss the amendment. Representative Quam, would you like to introduce it now?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And part of the echoing of Representative Pawlowski, the reason why this is to this bill and not the previous one is there's augmented funding in this bill compared to the previous. And part of the intent, I'm assuming staff generated this HAVA funds document and reference, and on there it's got you know, part of what states can use is for audit systems, and it mentions provide high quality of confidence, and you know, frankly, that's sort of what the intent of Amendment 1A is, and I'd move the amendment and then would further you know, clarify on the amendment.
Sure. Amendment 1A or A1 is, well, and just to point out, this document, I believe, was provided by the Secretary of State's office, so it's reflected at the bottom. But the A1 amendment is before the committee. Representative Quam, would you like to explain it?
Thank you. And it harkens back to about 10 months ago when we had the legislative audit report on registrations, and I had actually met with the personnel that performed the audit before that became public and had discussions in committee and after that about, I guess, some lack of clarity in the dispositioning and traceability on, you know, some of the data points, the verification through the SSA website. It's been referenced that a 10-year-old report by the SSA indicated that some of the numbers could be inflated by repeated submittals. Even if you submitted every single one of the registrations three times, there'd still be over 5,000 that would be indicated as mismatch, which I felt was non-trivial considering how many statewide races we've had that have been determined by hundreds or a couple thousand votes. And with the intent of, you know, audit system providing a high level of confidence, I worked with the nonpartisan staff to, in this amendment, more thoroughly clarify the need that we have a, I guess, quickly timely verification. I know that the SVRS was, I believe, under Senator Kiffmeyer when she was Secretary of State, her time as Secretary of State. So it's been around for a fair amount of time. And, you know, I agree the update plus the fact that the president of the organization for the county auditors, treasurers, and financial officers indicates that the SVRS doesn't have the tools, reports, and capability for them to be able to have the clarifying information. Talking with the auditors, that in a previous committee meeting had the keys to the bank, so to speak, so that they could access all the data, and they weren't able to have clear answers and say exactly what happened. And this was a 2016 election cycle. So the intent of the amendment is to further require that we provide the confidence to our citizens, of a high level of confidence to our citizens, that there aren't any issues with the registration system that we have. And frankly, I think my impression was this is something we already should have included, so there wouldn't be much of a burden. But again, it's put to the bill that has augmented funding, and it is relational to what I guess the Secretary of State provided as to what HAVA funds and states could use it for. So that's the intent and my hope with this amendment.
Quick question is for Representative Quam. Is there a bill to do this that's currently been introduced? I mean, it just seems a little early for amendments of this nature in the session. Just kind of curious if you, yeah, Representative Quam.
Mr. Chair, to some it might seem early. I've been involved with this for 10 months, actually, probably a little bit more than 10 months, and been trying to get clarity and confidence so that I could feel better. I haven't gotten that clarity and confidence from requests from the Secretary of State or from 15 different counties. And because of that lack, I felt it was my duty to help improve the system so that we could have ourselves and the citizens could have a higher confidence in our system. And this is an attempt. I don't say that this language is, ooh, silver bullet, special, golden, anything. But it gets into the conversation, this point, so that when the bill moves through the process, we keep in mind that everything we're doing is not just to ensure that we have the best system, but to ensure our citizens have the confidence in that system. And I, you know, maybe I'm more susceptible because I was involved and closely monitored a recount that was the election was changed and the decision was, what, 327 votes, the U.S. Senate race. And I also recall that there were several hundred ballots that were discovered in the trunk of a vehicle. So I just want to make sure that it's more clear that we have that confidence.
Yeah, thank you for that, Representative Quam. I mean, it seems to me if the language is, as you acknowledge, is, may not be a silver bullet, it might be better suited to a bill introduction where it can be more fully worked out. But, Representative, you know, I'd like to hear from the bill author as well as the Secretary of State. Representative Lilly, I thought I saw your hand go up. Would you mind if I hear from them first, and then
my
you can.
Hand did not go up, Mr. Chair.
Oh, okay. All right. Gotcha. Okay. Sure, Representative. Okay, gotcha. My mistake. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Quam. I do not support this amendment, and for a lot of reasons. But one is that we want a clean bill because this is going to get the money to the Secretary of State's office. Again, as was said, we're the only state that hasn't been authorized to spend this money. This money. Some of the things that are listed in here that he wants to do are not what the federal government guidelines say this money can be spent on. So we're going to be taking money away from cybersecurity to make sure our system is secure and spending on other things that are not authorized to do and could get us in trouble with the federal government. While these are some laudable ideas and maybe fodder for a separate bill or more appropriate to an elections bill coming out of the Elections Committee, for this bill, because of the expediency that we want to get this money, and if this goes on, we're going to need to get a fiscal note on it because we're adding cost to this bill, so the cost of the bill is going to have to go up. The money that's in here is the money that's already we have in the bank that was given to us by the federal government and as a grant, and so that's why I say I vote no on this amendment.
Sure. Representative Gomez, did you have a question for Representative Nelson? Or?
I think it's for Secretary of State Simon, if
okay.
I could.
Sure. Do you mind if we maybe have him explain the amendment first, then I'll
please.
Have you go first. Okay, sure. Secretary Simon.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I, too, oppose the amendment for some of the reasons that Representative Nelson already talked about. We really do need a clean bill here. Both Majority Leader Gazelka and Speaker Hartman have now three separate times in public interviews specifically and explicitly named this bill as something that can get done very quickly this session. I fear that if this amendment goes on, and I you know, certainly respect Representative Quam's passion for this issue, we have some disagreements on it, happy to flesh those out, we could do a whole hearing on just this issue, but there really will be no end to other people who want to get there. Issue recognized on this bill because it's traveling fast and it's hopefully headed for the governor's desk. And so just on procedural grounds alone, members, I hope that you'll see your way to not supporting it at this time. It would require a fiscal note. I'm happy to now or separately by letter or otherwise detail for all of you our view on the situation and all the checks and balances and procedures that are in place to flag exactly the kinds of things that Representative Quam is concerned about. I don't want to go into the details of the Office of Legislative Auditor report, but it's available to anyone to look at, and this particular issue is one that we've gone back and forth on. But I guess the short answer is, with respect, this is not the time or place for this amendment.
Thank you, Secretary. Representative Gomez?
Mr. Chair, if the chair agrees that we would have an opportunity to hear this in bill form, I will withdraw this amendment and allow us, a separate hearing on it.
Thank you, Representative Quam. I can't promise that at this point. As Representative Pawlowski noted, there are lots of bills that come here. I will certainly do my best to accommodate you, but I can't promise. And it would depend on the timing that it's introduced and so forth as well, as well as the language. Representative Gomez, and then I'll come back to you, Representative Quam, if you have additional comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think mostly my concerns were somewhat addressed by Secretary of State Simon. I just was reading this, and I was like, well, I was curious about the lack of a fiscal note accompanying it, because it does seem like it would, it asks people to do a bunch of work, and doing work costs money, right? And I guess the other piece was, and again, Secretary of State Simon alluded to this, I'm interested, my understanding at least is that, we have what I think is regarded as one of the, most highly respected, secure, clean election systems in the country. And so I know that there's a lot of oversight, there's a lot of kind of like reporting and monitoring that already happens, and so I'm just interested in, like, is this duplicative? What is, like, the actual intent of this particular record of discrepancies, and how are some of the items that are included here accounted for in other places that we have some of those oversight mechanisms? So I think my understanding is that, Secretary of State Simon is going to provide us maybe with some of that information about kind of like the reporting, and that if this were to move forward, that we would get information about the fiscal impact of it. So that's like not really a question, it's more of a statement, I guess, at this point. Thank you for your indulgence, though, Mr. Chair. I appreciate it.
If you'd like to comment, Secretary Simon?
Briefly, Mr. Chair and Representative Gomez, let me just drill down just on the one piece that you mentioned about procedures, what procedures are in place. And I won't go through all of them, but in terms of reporting in particular. So we just, during the interim, went through a rulemaking process where there is, as many of you know, a very open public notice and comment period. Legislators were apprised of this. We had a hearing where anyone, a citizen, a legislator, could submit ideas, testimony, objections on exactly this point. How is this kind of thing reported? And what we settled on, and what the judge signed off on, the administrative law judge, was that all law enforcement, county attorneys in every county in Minnesota must, there's no discretion, zero, must periodically issue a report to our office, not only about the way that they have handled any complaints about voter registration, or whether it's this issue or anything else, but even pending investigations, things that have not already resulted in a charging decision or a conviction, they have to report to us by a set date anything whatsoever that's gone in those counties that's been referred to law enforcement. So that covers not just this, but any other species of voter misconduct. And so we just went through that process in the interim since the legislative report, and we got the full buy-in of the county attorneys, so we have law enforcement with whom we work very closely, and they are committed to this, and they are required by law to do this. There's no discretion. They can't say they're too busy. They can't say they'd rather be working on other things. They must report this information to all of us.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Quam, did you want to follow up?
I was just going to say that one of the reasons why I didn't pursue a fiscal note is, frankly, they should already be doing this. If they had been doing this, the auditors would have had the data, the information in the report. The counties who are supposed to be part of this team for the elections would have access, would have the data, would have the tools to do their job, their mission. And frankly, that is part of the reason, one of the main reasons for the impetus of doing this, is I was shocked and spent hours upon hours talking and reviewing the audit with the people that did the audit. And I know that there are ongoing activities and cooperation between the Secretary of State's office and the auditor to try and understand. But frankly, it's been almost a year, and it was more than time sufficient that I felt this be addressed, and I will convert this into a bill. I will try and you know, schedule time and meet with the Secretary of State's office and personnel to try and take care of that, and I will be also consulting the auditors to have a better picture, because again, as they said, they had the keys, they had the access to the data, and so they have a better maybe picture, an independent picture of how to address this, because this is core to our democratic form of government. So I will withdraw the amendment, and will you'll be seeing an actual bill to be heard. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for your comments, Representative Quam. Representative Lilly, did you still want to speak in light of the withdrawal of the amendment?
My comments now could be to the bill when you're at that point. So
there are no further amendments. So so as far as I'm concerned, we are to the bill.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Quam, for withdrawing at this point. You know, I served on GovOps Finance Division last year, and you brought this through, and I really appreciate your earnest work on this, Representative O'Driscoll. And, you know, Secretary of State Simon, when he was in the House, he's probably sick of me bringing this up, but, you know, he had a hanging chad from machine in his office from Florida, and as a member he knew elections, and he's clearly taken that to the office. And when he said with urgency, we need this, we need to do this, I found the whole thing really darn embarrassing, and especially even more so today to hear that we're the only state in the whole country that isn't taking advantage of the Fed's offer or whatever, but and then we're not doing this. It's scary. You know, we pride ourselves as a great state, and I think we're pretty far up there. I don't know what the Secretary of State will let him toot his horn, but number one, I believe. And you know, part of that's confidence, and we need to, you know, get this done. Thank you, Representative Nelson O'Driscoll, for pushing us forward, and our leaders, you know, on the doors this fall, I heard, hey, get this done. Let's get this, you know, get stuff done. And this is one of them where we can get it and get it to the governor and get it signed. And this is good work for all of us. So thank you for bringing it forward.
Any additional comments? Okay, the Nelson motion is before us to re-refer House File 14 to the Ways and Means Committee. Would you like to make any closing comments, Chair Nelson?
Mr. Chair, thank you for the hearing. And like I said, we have till March of 2023 to spend this money. We're already a year behind because we didn't authorize this last year. So that's the urgency in trying to get this done. And again, it was one of the items that was in the large bill that got vetoed that both sides, both parties agree that it's important to get moved forward with.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. All those in favor of the Nelson motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. The bill is continuing on its way.
Thank you, members.
Yep, thank you. Members, just so you know, I believe the agenda for Tuesday, January 22nd, has been posted. We will be hearing from the Legislative Commission on Pensions and Retirement. A lot of what we do in this committee, there's a lot of pension issues that could well come before this committee, so it's important to hear from them. My intention is to hear House File 33 as well, authored by Representative Poston. And on Thursday, potentially, likely, the Equal Rights Amendment. So thank you, members. This committee is adjourned.